Today we have baptism and we have the Lord's Supper, two of the most important things that Christians would do to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. As a result, we have a very tight schedule, so I will share a short message. And I will answer the long-expected question that I asked 3 Sundays ago. Yes, right? And the question was, why after Jesus Christ has come back the second time, he has already fought all evil, won the battle, reigned for 1,000 years, and before that, he will put Satan to prison, but only for 1,000 years, and then God would release Satan again. Why? Why would God do that? Yes, many of you have been looking forward to the answer of that question, and today I will focus on answering that question and what that means to us. But before I go there, since some of you were not here over the past 3 Sundays, I think it would be beneficial for us to have a quick review what has already happened before the end of the 1,000 years of Jesus' rule on earth. And all these are prophecies, are things that will happen in the future. God, whatever God says, will be fulfilled. God always keeps his promises. All the prophecies about Jesus' first coming has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And they are prophecies that are not fulfilled. And I believe they will be literally fulfilled. The first thing immediately that will happen... I will jump forward. It looks like... Did you put the new PowerPoint there? One second, let me see. I have the slide, but... patient, we wait for the long expected answer. I had sermon slides with some pictures that will help us to quickly to grasp the unfulfilled prophecies, but it looks like they are not here for some reason. But let me very quickly review that with you. The first thing that will immediately happen is the rapture. And the rapture meaning being caught up in the air. That's something that can happen anytime. According to the Bible, it says that before Jesus Christ comes back again, the second time, those believers of Jesus Christ who were already dead, they will first be resurrected. After their resurrection, they will be caught up in the air. At the same time, those Christians who are still living, us, if rapture happens the next minute, we will all, our body will be transformed into a resurrection body that cannot be corrupted, that does not have sin nature, that is suitable for living in heaven forever. And we will also be caught up in the air with Jesus Christ, as the bride of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And then after that, there will be 7 years of huge disasters on planet Earth, something you have never seen before. The earthquake last year was really bad. Tsunamis before that was really bad. But what will happen after the rapture will be much, much worse than those disasters. At the end of the 7 years of great, huge disasters, Jesus Christ would come back as promised in the Bible. He will come back, he will fight against all evil, unrepentant, and stubborn people who want to fight against God. Jesus Christ will come back on a white horse, symbolizing his triumph against all evil. And following him, also on white horses, will be faithful believers of Jesus Christ. They will be witnessing Jesus Christ to fight the battle against all evil. The ultimate source of all evil, the tempter, the deceiver, is Satan, the devil, described in the Old Testament as the ancient serpent who tempted our ancestors, Adam and Eve, into sin. And during that 7 years, Satan will give power to a beast representing a dominant world power leader. And this leader will have someone to help him called the false prophet. He will do miracles, and many people will be amazed by the miracles. And then they will worship the beast. Whoever will worship the beast, they will have a mark 666 on their forehead and on their hand. But these people, they will turn against God, turn against Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ comes back. And there will be a final battle between good and evil called the Armageddon. Some of you might have heard that. That is the ultimate war that the evil people will fight against Jesus Christ. But God's enemy's defeat is certain, because they are against the Almighty God who created them, who has all the power. First, the beast and the false prophet, they will be defeated and they will be thrown into the lake of fire that is also called hell. And then Jesus will also kill all the followers of the beast and the false prophet. They will be killed, and they later on will be judged. Then, that's where I ask the question. An angel, a mighty angel, bound Satan with a chain and put him in an abyss, a bottomless pit, where he would be confined for 1,000 years to stop him from deceiving the nations. Then Jesus would reign for 1,000 years with those faithful believers who were resurrected or raptured, and also the faithful believers during the 7 years of huge disasters. They were persecuted and killed, beheaded. Their heads been cut off, because they say, even if you cut off my head, I will not deny my faith in Jesus Christ. These will be resurrected and rewarded to reign with Jesus Christ together. These are the pictures that would show us visually what John the Apostle would have seen. This is from 1 Thessalonians about the rapture of the saints, of the believers. And these are the disasters that John the Apostle should have seen in the book of Revelation. Huge disasters that we have never seen before. You see, these people have marks on their forehead and on their hands. Nobody wants to be in that time. And then Jesus Christ will come back to fight the battle. His weapon, it's his word, powerful word from his mouth, like a sword. Of course, he'll win the battle against Satan, the ancient serpent, the dragon, the beast, the dominant world power leader, and the false prophet, deceiving all these people with the mark 666 to follow the beast, and will later fight against Jesus Christ. Of course, they will lose the beast, and also the false prophets, they'll be put in hell. And the rest of these followers of Satan, the beast, and also the false prophet, they'll be killed, waiting for their final judgment. And a mighty angel will bound Satan, put him in the abyss, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. But here it says that to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Why? That's the question we'll answer. These are the faithful believers during tribulation who will be resurrected, rewarded to reign with Jesus Christ together. And all believers, they will be priests of God and of Christ with Jesus Christ during that 1,000 years. Now we come to today's passage. All those were the passages before today's passage. So if you want to understand the details, go back to before this passage in chapter 19 and chapter 20. If some of the things you don't understand, you can go to listen to the sermon recording online, and that will help you to understand more. Today's passage tells us that first, Satan will be released from prison and will see his attempts to fight against God. Revelation chapter 20 verse 7 says that when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, the abyss, the bottomless pit, and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. It's quite self-explanatory, maybe except for Gog and Magog. You don't understand what these words mean. These words, according to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 3 to verse 6, they refer to the world's rulers or leaders and nations. At that time, they will rebel against God. This was also prophesied according to Ezekiel, another book by a prophet, Ezekiel, about what will happen in the future, chapter 38, verse 3 to verse 6. But who are those people who will follow Satan? Who are those people who will follow Satan? We know Jesus Christ will be king on earth during that 1,000 years. He will start with all believers and the resurrected believers. Jesus Christ will be king in a kingdom that's peaceful. No war. It's a perfect world. The environment will be perfect. There will be no more killing. This is the ideal world that we all look forward to. But why and who are those people who follow Satan? These are the ones who are descendants of those who survived the tribulation. Some of them will survive the tribulation, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they were able to hide from the persecution and their heads were not cut off. So as a result, they would continue to live in the 1,000 years when Jesus Christ rules on earth. And they have the same body that we have now. Natural bodies, they will get married. What would they have after they have gotten married? They will have kids and they will repopulate the earth. But among those kids of the believers who didn't die during tribulation, some of them will only have knowledge of who Jesus Christ. All of them will have knowledge, but only some will truly have saving faith in Jesus Christ. Others only have very shallow, incomplete faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And these people, they will be deceived by Satan, and then they will turn against Jesus Christ and fight against Jesus Christ. Now let's answer the question. Then why would God release Satan after imprisoning him for 1,000 years? If not releasing him, probably there will be no more war, no more deceiving by Satan. There are two reasons implied in this passage. The first reason why God released Satan after the 1,000 years of perfect peace, perfect environments on planet Earth, to show that it is impossible to change Satan's evil nature. See, Satan was given 1,000 years to think about how stupid he has been and how weak he is before the Almighty God. It didn't even take Jesus to bind him and put him in a abyss. Jesus simply sent an angel and then was able to bound Satan and put him in prison for 1,000 years. And he still did not realize how powerful God is. And he immediately after release, he would turn against Jesus Christ again. Have you ever made a mistake before? Everybody has made a mistake before. The first time you make a mistake, maybe it's out of ignorance. You don't know. That's the wrong thing to do. How about the second time you make a mistake? Someone might say that you're stupid because you have not learned your lesson. Satan is stupid, okay? He did not learn his lesson. There's no way that he could win God. God created him. God is almighty. Although he did have some power, but it's nothing in comparison to God's power. Satan might be powerful. According to the Bible, he might even look very beautiful, but he was stupid. Immediately after Satan was released, he tried to rebel against God again. The second thing, second reason why God would release Satan after imprisoning him for 1,000 years is that God wants to show the corruption of human beings. This is the final proof that the human heart is desperately wicked. According to Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, it says the same thing about the human heart. It's wicked. And the human heart can only be changed by God's power through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. But this is the tragedy that happened. Imagine the tragedy. People who have been living in a perfect environment, perfect government of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, they don't appreciate what Jesus Christ did for them. But instead they hate Jesus Christ, the King, and they rebel against the King after benefiting from him for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years of Jesus' kingdom will be a time of perfect peace, perfect environment, perfect law. Whoever would do something wrong would immediately be judged. There is perfect justice. But what we have learned is that, I think you can see that by reading newspaper. You might complain about the law being not perfect, there's no justice. But even if the law is perfect, even the environment is perfect, a perfect environment with perfect law cannot produce a perfect heart. The problem is in the heart. The problem is not we see outside. We often think, if the economy is good, if there is perfect law and justice, if there is world peace, everything else would be fine. Don't we sometimes think about it this way? If these happen, everything will be fine. No, the real problem is the human heart. If the human heart is not changed by God's power through Jesus, sin will continue to enslave human beings and will be judged by God. So while the economy is bad, you hope the economy would improve and the environment is polluted, you hope that it will get better by doing more things to conserve the environment. While there are wars, you hope there will be world peace. But even if all these happen, if the heart of human beings do not change, human beings will still be controlled by sin. The problem will be what's inside. I heard friends visiting Singapore. I heard that Singapore is a really nice place, almost like a perfect place to live in. But a friend said that behind the dark alleys, he saw some dark things. In the front streets, everything seemed clean. The human heart is the problem. What does it mean to us? We are hopeless without trusting Christ for salvation and for our daily living. We are hopeless without trusting Christ for our salvation and for our daily living. It is our nature. It is our nature to rebel against God, to do the sinful, stupid things. We don't learn from our lessons. We repeat doing the same silly things over and over again without God helping us. So just knowledge and acceptance of knowledge as true about Jesus Christ won't save us. It is essential to have knowledge and acceptance of this knowledge about Jesus Christ to be saved. But that's not enough. We also need a trusting relationship with Jesus Christ for salvation. A trusting relationship. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. Without Christ, there is no more Christianity. It is like a child. Recently, we went to Dallas visiting friends who gave birth to babies. Remember when you were a child? You're walking on the street, seeing strange people in a strange environment. What would you do? You hold on to your dad or your mom's hand. And you will not let go. Although the environment might be scary, you will still feel secure if the source of your trust is trustable. And the source of our trust is Jesus Christ, who gives us perfect security if you truly trust Him and never let go. So this trusting relationship with Jesus Christ should produce in us a security, should produce in us a certainty of salvation and thankfulness to Him for sacrificing so much for us, so that we can have eternal security instead of fear. If you are truly a believer of Jesus Christ, you should have certainty of your eternal life by trusting in Christ alone. And you'll be thankful, and you try to do everything to live a life that will make Jesus happy. He died for you, and He wants you to live for Him, and that's the best for you, because He knows what is good for you. He created you. He designed you. He knows what is the best for you. And our instruction manual is in the Bible. Do you have saving faith in Jesus Christ? Are you living by faith in Jesus Christ every day? What you do in public life, some people would describe as reputation. Many people have good reputation. Some people might be described as religious. Oh, what a nice guy. What a nice woman. What a religious person who comes to church every Sunday. But this is called reputation. But you still are able to deceive others by doing things behind people's back in your private life that are sinful in God's eyes. You know what? What is in your heart, what you do in your private life, that tells who you truly are. That's your true self. What you do in public, that's called reputation. But what you do in your private life, in your heart, that shows your true self. And you cannot deceive yourself. You cannot deceive God, who you really are. If you don't have certainty of your salvation, you show no thankfulness to Christ's death and resurrection for your sins, and you continue to willfully live in sin and think there's nothing wrong about it. Let me tell you, there's something wrong about you, because you are not truly saved. Even if you continue to come to church, you have more knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, if you don't trust Him alone as that child, hold on to the Father's hand, as a result, has certainty of salvation. As a result, thank Jesus Christ for what He did for you. As a result, you no longer willfully sin, and even after you have sinned, you know you're wrong, and you confess to God, sorry God, I've done something wrong. If you don't do that, I'm afraid, even if you come to church more, have more knowledge, it will not help you to be saved, and you will be judged. And you might be those, like the ones who turned against Jesus Christ, after experiencing the perfect 1,000 years of rule, when Jesus Christ was King of Kings and Lord of Lords on earth. John chapter 14 verse 6 says that Jesus says that I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can go to heaven. No one can go to heaven, have eternal life with God the Father, except through trusting in Jesus Christ alone, holding on to Jesus Christ and never let go. Now we understand the reason why God released Satan. The first one, to show that Satan, he is hopelessly evil. He cannot be changed from his evil nature. Second, the human heart is also corrupted. Without God, we will continue to sin and rebel against God. That's why Satan and his followers, they deserve God's judgment of their sins. Now, from verse 9, we'll see Satan's ultimate defeat and punishment. Verse 9, the followers of Satan, they marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loved. Here, this city is Jerusalem, according to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 5. It also talks about the 1,000 years of Jesus' rule on earth, and Jerusalem will be the capital city of the world government that Jesus will rule as King of Kings. But fire came down from heaven and devoured all the followers of Satan. Immediate judgment and punishment on them for rebelling against such a loving God and a perfect king. Verse 10, let's see what happens to the devil finally. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 also mentions this. The lake of burning sulfur, also called hell, where the beast and the false prophet had already been thrown before the 1,000 years. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Some people think after people have died, they will just disappear, become nothing, no longer to exist. But according to the Bible, we have the spirit. Our spirit will continue to live on, either with God or to be judged. As seen here, the punishment is forever, not just disappearing, destroying, and that's it. So what does it mean to us? I think we should get rid of our sense of pride. How do you know someone is proud? That person usually is self-sufficient. He has everything he needs. He often relies on his own power to do things. He thinks that, I don't need God. I can do everything myself. Why do I need God? But we might not be in the first category. We are often in the second category. We think that sometimes I need God. When there are things that I cannot do, I need God. I cry out to God. I pray to God. God, help me. Help me. My parents or even my wife is seriously ill. The doctor says that there's no hope. Help my family members. Heal them. At those moments, we cry out to God. We express our need to God. But at other times we say, we don't need God. In other areas, let me do my own thing. God, get out of my way. In those areas. So in those areas, you might have shown your pride that you don't need God. In the new year, I hope we can rely on God always. Not just sometimes. Not just in this area, but not in the other area. How can we rely on God always? Everybody knows about that, but let's practice that. It is through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will live in believers, true believers of Jesus Christ. He will speak to us, guide us, and give us power to fight against Satan's temptations for us to sin through the Bible and through our prayers. In Chinese, one pastor once said, the secret of a triumphant Christian life is Mandarin, 一本圣经两个膝盖. 一本圣经, one Bible and two kneecaps. That means you need to read your Bible. You need to kneel down to pray to God. No shortcuts, no secrets to a life that is triumphant. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, We thank you for your word. You have answered a question that we have been waiting for an answer. Why would you release Satan from the bottomless pit after confining him, imprisoning him for 1,000 years? There are things we don't understand, but everything God, you have allowed to happen in your sovereign power, here is the purpose. Through what we have learned from this passage, we know that Satan is hopelessly evil. He really deserves what he will get, eternal punishment in hell. And we are also desperately corrupted in our heart. Without God, it's impossible for us to meet God's standards, to live a holy life. I just pray that we'll learn a lesson through what happened to Satan and those people who followed Satan, that will not be proud. The root of Satan's problem was pride. And that we'll not be proud, we'll not think that we can take care of ourselves, we don't need God. We'll not even think that we need God in one area but not another area in our lives, but we need God all the time in the new year. And I pray that we always read God's word, think about God's word, and pray sincerely to God, and God's presence will be with us, God's power will be with us to fight against Satan even now. I pray that we will all be with Jesus Christ when he raptures the believers, and we'll not need to go through the great tribulation, the huge disasters, but we will be able to rule with Jesus faithfully together, experience God's honor and power and in eternity. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.